Greg Talbot from CASE, the Centre for Australian Space Education. Greg's background is he's a senior science teacher and also possibly the founder of the Australian International Space School. And he's going to give us a presentation on the activities of CASE and the Space School, which are one and the same, I believe, now. So I'll hand over to Greg.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's nice to be here. I just flew in from sunny Sydney into Melbourne. And I was pleased when Mark phoned me and said, would we like to do a presentation about CASE? And it is a fairly newish sort of organisation, and it's pretty diverse, I guess. But someone asked me the other day when I was talking about coming down to ASRI, they said, well, what's ASRI? And I thought, that's an unusual thing, because normally I get asked, well, you know, what do you do? And I said, well, really, ASRI, this is, you can shoot me later, ASRI is more a technical area for people who are certainly post-school. Now, I know that you might want, that might not be accurate for all members, but it's sort of like an adult version of what we do. And so I thought I might actually start from there and work backwards and go through a little bit of the history about what we've done and what we're aiming to do. And as I fairly consistently say, to help encourage the links that I think are essential for us to link into ASRI and university faculties and training programs, etc. Now, basically, that's the logo that someone came up with for CASE. I suppose you all know how those things are done. You ask someone and they say, there it is. And okay, so we're based at Smithfield. Now, my partner in this is a man called Brian Robson, who is not an educator and not a scientist. He's actually works in the area of fundraising, chocolate sales and other sorts of sales like that. And when I first met Brian, it was when he asked me to go across to the International Space Camp in America. And it's a one-week event. And I was, at that time, I was the president of the Science Teachers Association of New South Wales. And I thought, oh, no, not me. I don't know anything about space. So I diligently found some teachers and some students to go, only to be told at the end that it would be better if I went. So I hastily got a visa, went across, and attended the space camp. Now, Brian was, I suppose, what you'd say, really an impartial businessman in that respect, in that he didn't have any understanding particularly of what we were like. And my standard joke is that when I was told that I was going and I had to hurriedly get a visa, I said, well, I better find out something about what we do in space in Australia. So I found a few people, and I must admit CSIRO were useful. They provided some information. And I thought the best one, though, was the Sydney Space Centre that I found, and they said they park cars. Everybody else said, we don't have anything to do with space in Australia. And the Air Force, God bless their little hearts, because I've now been out to Edinburgh and the DSTO over there, said, we don't fly that high, so you better give up. So anyway, what I'd just like to go through here, this is just an overhead that I made myself just at school. I'm a head science teacher in a state school up there. I'll talk about AISS in a minute, but what happened is that I went across to the space school in America and I met 35 different international educators and whatever, 50, 60, or double that number anyway, of international students plus of another 50 American students who were part of this special program. And the space camp, have anyone been to Huntsville? A couple of people have been to Huntsville. Huge complex. It's like Disneyland, I guess. Big museum, big training floor, huge outside area where rockets like this everywhere, and also an entertainment park, etc. So we were one of about 1,000 people in this camp doing all these little kids running around in T-shirts and all different ages and sizes and marching around the place. And I thought, well, this is really big business. And when I sat down to someone next to someone who was from Norway or somewhere and said that they made the thread on the nut that holds the pipe that connects to the hose that does something, I thought to myself, well, surely Australia does more than that in terms of its space development. And so when I got back, I was really dead tired after a week of slave labour. I thought, I was asked, what did I think about going again, etc. And I said, well, I was surprised to find that so many countries in the world had a space camp. Not the American hullabaloo type, but a typical school camp for high school kids. And I said, well, why don't we have one? You know, I'm an experienced teacher and I could run one of these things in next to no time if we had some people who were involved with space education or space research. And they sort of went away, and it was actually Mars Confectionery phoned back and said, how much will it cost? And I said, look, I don't know how much it would cost. I said, you could probably run it for a week at a conference centre, etc. And I said, maybe 30,000. And they said, well, if you start tomorrow, you can have it. And I said, well, not me. I don't know anything about space education. And I'm too tired and I didn't want to do it. Anyway, I was talked into it about a month later. I said yes, and that was in about December 91. We advertised in January 92. I hope that's the right year. We were approached by the Australian Space Office, who said, do you want some money? Now there's a turn up for the books. It was International Space Year, which I didn't know. But nonetheless, they did, and they heard about us, and we went down to Canberra and talked about what our plans were. We had our bona fides checked out, and they discovered that we knew nothing about space at all. But nonetheless, we had good ideas about how to start something and run it and copy the American style. And we already had backing from Mars, and everything was hey presto. And so it went ahead. It was a huge success, there's no doubt about it. The first one was pretty much rough and ready, and usual arrive at the university door and knock on the door and everything's locked up on a Sunday morning and all the kids are saying, oh yeah, we knew this would be shonky or something. So you go through the 16 security guards and they say, the space office? Ha ha ha. Everybody laughs about space education. I don't know whether you find that, but they think you're crazy. Anyway, that space school has been running now for quite some time, 5 years, entering our sixth year. We did get sponsorship from the Australian Space Office every year until this year, and it stopped this year, as Mark explained. We were advised and encouraged to apply for the DIST fund, which we also put in one in with ASRI to do with using our students, which we'll talk about in a minute, students, us providing the high school students to ASRI's resources and technical officers to try and do a joint project, and neither of them was funded, which we found a bit of a surprise, considering some of the ones that did get funded. We thought we had a good record, and we were certainly encouraged to. We weren't discouraged by not getting money. Went ahead this year with some changes, there were a slightly reduced number and a few other things like that. But the basic principles of AISS, I'll show you an overhead in a minute. One of the things that's come out of that is just to show you how bizarre things can be. Last year I went across to America again, sort of by default. We had to go to Washington and we don't have any money either. And so we tried to do a combo deal. In fact, if you're interested, it was the Atlanta Olympics and Huntsville's just north of Atlanta. And one of our students, we sent two students across to America and the boy was selected to run with the torch through Huntsville. To a huge, absolutely huge, public exhibition of support for the Olympic Games. And I must admit, when I was sitting on the bus, I was thinking, will we do this in Australia? And the answer is, we will. I went across and I met a man on the plane who was on his way to his 14th trip to the space camp, and worked out later on that he works for in a school for the blind in West Virginia, and he was there to escort one of the teachers of the year, who was actually an Olympian, teacher and an Olympian who had an accident and was blinded, and he was a javelin thrower, some description, some sort of work like that. Anyway, Dan was there to help out, and Dan said that he'd been running the space school for the blind, and we left in August, and he said, "Do you want to send an Australian across to our space camp, the blind?" And I said, "Sure," and I got back to Australia, and within a month we had the money raised through Rotary, for which I'm very grateful for an all-expenses-paid trip for a blind girl and a teacher and a helper to go across the blind space camp, and we were the first country in the world, first non-American country to attend the space camp. It's held in the same place as the big space school, and this year we sent across a teacher from Salisbury, South Australia, who trains, who works there. When he came back, he was a bit critical of the program because, for those who believe in it, he said equal opportunity doesn't mean you run the same program for blind people and say, see this wall carving of something, which is really what happened apparently. It's a great idea, they run the whole program, but they don't really modify it enough for partially sighted students. Nonetheless, we're committed to sending students across there, and I'm also supposed to be meeting the Victorian Blind Society, RVIB, which who were highly involved this year, and we only fell through at the end with, we had the students selected from Victoria to attend, but there was some hassle at the end about supervision and a few other things. Anyway, so we've added that to our program, and it's meant to be not just cost recovery. We don't make any money on that, but we certainly try not to lose money on it, but it is a wonderful little program.